Well, thank you for leading us to the Lord in instrumental music tonight. Thank you for coming. We've been blessed this morning to hear from God. And I was thinking this morning as he was talking on revival that I have a fireplace at home. And sometimes I have to revive the fire. And I got to open the door, let some oxygen in, and fan the flame. And I was thinking about the flame and being a dim flame. And then we sang the song this morning, the My Lighthouse. And I walked in the door, and there's a CD about a lighthouse on the table. And my mind was led to Matthew about us being lights. It says, Matthew 5:14, "You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God, your Father, which is in heaven." This morning in Sunday school, they talked about the Pharisees wanting the glory for themselves, but it says that your light should give glory to God. You know, we live in a dark world. Everything. We live in a dark world. It's really, really dark. And in Matthew here, it says, we are the light of the world. As believers, we are the light of the world. And I want to show you what the power of one light is. The power of one light. How about a couple more? And more. I want you to ponder that picture tonight. Ye are the light of the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of light, not only in our physical world, but in our hearts. God, you're calling us to be the light of the world. And I pray that by coming tonight and hearing from your word, that fire would burn bright in our hearts, and that you would receive glory from all the works, the good works that are done, that would not be to lift up man, but to glorify your name. Bless Dave and the family as they minister tonight through song and through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Are you thirsty? Are you empty? Come and drink these living waters. Tired and broken, peace unspoken, rest beside these living waters.
Christ is calling, find refreshing at the cross of living waters. Lay your life down, all the old gone.
Joy to the city of our God. Where our hope is secure, do not fear anymore. Praise the Lord of living waters.
Spirit moving, mercy washing.
Joy to the city of our God. There our hope is secure. Do not fear anymore. Praise the Lord of living waters. Living waters.
mercy and love. Bring joy to the city of our God. Here our hope is secure. Do not fear anymore. Praise the Lord of living waters. Here our hope is secure. Do not fear anymore.
Praise the Lord of living waters. Amen. This song says nothing else matters as long as He is glorified. Amen. Shall I take from your hand your blessings, yet not welcome any pain? Shall I thank you for days of sunshine, yet grumble in days of rain? Shall I love you in times of plenty, then leave you in days of drought? And shall I trust when I reap the harvest, but when winter winds blow then down?
Really our heart's desire here these next days, that nothing else matters as long as He is glorified. That is our heart's desire, to lift up the name of Jesus and to make Him look good, because apart from Him, we have nothing to say. We have nothing to share. We have no hope to give apart from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, it's so good to see you here tonight, and want to take a moment to introduce the family. We may not even need an introduction here. I was brought to tears moments ago when in our prayer time where somebody was praying for our family and named everyone by name. And that may not have meant much to some of you, but that tells me that that wasn't the first time they prayed for us. And God bless you. We so need prayers. And one thing that we want you to know is that, you know, in services like this, yeah, we interact, maybe a meal together or here or there, but for the most part, all you see is like in a service. It may seem like, wow, they have it all together. We have it together sometimes, but not near all the time. We go through things just like anybody else. We're no more special than anybody else. My attitude is not always right, and we ask each other for forgiveness, and in fact, that's a very regular basis that we ask each other for forgiveness. And sometimes it's just minutes before a service, because we've purposed in our heart to never go public if there's any unresolved conflict. And may God help us to remain faithful to that commitment, because that only hinders the anointing to flow. Now, there are times, honestly, where maybe there's ongoing things we need to work through and all of that, but at least to know that everyone is at peace with one another. And we don't want to go public any time apart from that. And that is only by the grace of God and by His Spirit in us. But again, we are no one special. Jesus is the one who is special in us. And I'm so grateful for that. And we are here to glorify Him. But my wife, Ruth Ann, we are almost at 26 years now. Next month, it'll be 26 years of marriage. The end of May. The end of May. And goodness, what is it? 30th. Yeah, May 30th, 1992, when we got married. And a year earlier, just a little less than a year before that, is when we gave our life to the Lord. And so we had almost 1 year of a dating relationship before we got married. And we are so grateful. We both lived an ungodly life and were not in fellowship with God. And what a blessing it was to have 1 year of courting as Christians. It was completely changed. And I am so grateful for the grace of God. And through that time, how He took us through different scenarios and seminars and teaching, and that helped us understand the importance of clearing up the past. And we thank God. We thank God so much. And I'm grateful for Ruth Ann and what she brings to our family. We've homeschooled our children all their life, all except our oldest went to kindergarten in a Christian day school in Holmes County, Ohio. And then a year later, 1999 is when we moved to the Carolinas and came on full time with Gospel Express. And so it's been whatever that is, 18, 19 years almost. And we've homeschooled ever since, and we are so grateful. And I thank God for what Ruth Ann brings to our family.
Oh, yes. This is Derek, our firstborn. Derek is 24. We are so glad to have him with us. One thing that I really admire about Derek is relationships are always more important than things, and he really challenges all of us in that. But we appreciate, between bus driver and the setup, teardown equipment, the guitar and singing, just everything he does when he's home. He builds fences, and if he has any extra time, he loves to be on the golf course. So, yeah, we appreciate Derek.
This is my younger sister, Deborah. She is 23 years old. She enjoys many things. She's a wonderful cook. She does a little photography. She decorates for events, and she also plays the harp.
This is my little brother, Eugene. He is 21 years old, and when we're at home, he does woodworking and leads worship at our home church. When we're on the road, he works a lot with our family singing, set up and tear down, plays bass and acoustic guitar, and has a wonderful sense of humor that keeps my life very interesting.
This is Kyle. He is 19 years old, a very talented musician, plays a variety of different instruments, and sings bass for our family harmony and whatever else we ask him to do. He's a very deep thinker and a quiet guy, but what he says usually matters and has some weight to it. So I appreciate him and the brother he is to me.
This bundle of joy is my little sister, Grace. She is 14 years old now and is getting used to braces. She just got those recently, and bless her heart. And she enjoys playing the piano, the harp, and singing alto for us.
Amen. My name is Dave, and I'm a year older than I was a year ago. And my wife is the best woman in the world. And we'll just leave it at that. All right, husbands, you ought to argue with me now. It's the only place for righteous argument. Amen. Also, we mentioned this morning, Eugene was not feeling well. And those of you who prayed, we thank God for touching him and healing him. Because, we need him. But yet, we also need to be willing to do without him. We thank God for touching him throughout the day and making him better again. This next song is our family song, we call it. And is there anything you want to share before we share this song? Can you do that? Yeah, go ahead, do that. Okay.
Yes, well, it is definitely just tries to sum up our heart in this song. And the more people that I meet, whether it's in our own communities, whether it's in Africa, whether it's in prisons, the more people I meet, the more I realize how very blessed I am and how rich I've been with experiences, teaching, and the culture that we were brought up in. And I just, so many times, I would love to take a whole bunch of you with us and pair you up with all these people that have not been taught just the basic essentials, what we would call the basic essentials of, just activating their conscience, teaching about nutrition, parenting, all these things. But most of all, that God is sovereign and the creator and Jesus as Lord and the only way to salvation. So I guess I encourage all of us, whether it's hard things that we've gone through and God has redeemed that and healed us, it's not just for us to enjoy and cherish it and love the freedom, but to be able to be broken bread for someone else. So whether it's the positive things or the hard things, they're all nutrition for someone else that needs to hear and know. So may he find us faithful, first with our families, but then abroad, to be nourishment to others.
Let us raise my holy form, the pride. Hallelujah. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we come to your throne of grace tonight. And Lord, I pray for every father here tonight. Oh, Father, how we need your wisdom. How we need the wisdom from heaven to know how to raise sons and daughters in this day and age, Father. We need wisdom, we need help, we need discernment, we need courage. And I pray tonight for every father, oh God, help us not to fall asleep at the wheel. Help us, Lord, to look at fathering as a privilege and not a burden. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, oh God, to rise up and be men of God, to rise up and be godly, to be men of the word and men of prayer, men that seek your heart, fathers that seek your heart, and Lord, where our children can see that we are first seeking your kingdom and your righteousness. Help us, oh God, to keep our priorities right so that the next generation can see who you are through our life. And not only that, but that the next generation can take ministry and impact the world even in greater dimensions than what we ever could. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing our cry. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen. Let's always remember, on the journey, let's keep turning to the light, Jesus Christ.
I have journeyed through the night, and the battle now is won. There's a new song in my heart, there's a new day dawning bright. Oh, I'm turning to the light. Not so very long ago, I lay covered by the snow, sign of spring inside. Now I'm turning to the light. I am turning to the light. I am reaching toward the sun. I have journeyed through the night, and the battle now is won. There's a new song in my heart. There's a new day dawning bright. Oh, I'm turning to the light. I have journeyed through the night, and the battle now is won. There's a new song in my heart, there's a new day dawning bright. Oh, I'm turning to the light. There's a new song in my heart, there's a new day dawning bright. Oh, I'm turning to the light.
The King of Love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. And he is mine forever. Streams of living water flow, my ransomed soul he leadeth. And where the verdant pastures grow, with fields of pastoral freedom.
Never failing, ruler of my heart, everlasting, lover of my soul, on the mountain high, or in the valley low, the King of love, my shepherd is, the King of love, my shepherd is.
Lost and foolish, oft I strayed, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me.
In dust or fear I fear no ill, with thee, dear Lord, beside me. Thy rod and staff my comfort still, thy cross before to guide me. Never failing, ruler of my heart, everlasting, lover of my soul, on the mountain high, or in the valley low, the King of love, my shepherd is, the King of love, my shepherd is.
Faileth never. Good shepherd, may I sing your praise within your house forever. Within your house forever.
Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you that you are the King of love. We thank you that you are the great I am, and that you are the light of the world. We thank you. No matter where, no matter what, you, Jesus, are the one who brings us hope. Thank you for the message of Jesus Christ that never wears out and never gets old. And we honor you as our guest of honor here tonight. In the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen and amen. How many of you are ready for the word?
Amen.
Good. Okay, I'm reminded. This was, I don't know, many years ago in our little town, Columbus, North Carolina. It's not a very big town, but it's one of our hometowns there. We have about 3 different zip codes to remember, and they're all small towns right around us there. But we were in the little county jail singing for about 30 minutes, and then way down the hallway, the very last cell of that little county jail, after we sang for about, I don't know, there was probably 8 or 9 of us guys in there, and an inmate hollered out, he said, "I am ready for the word." I hadn't heard that too often in like that, but what a blessing to know. You know, aren't you glad we have the Word of God? Aren't you glad you have a copy of this Word? I don't know how many times I have heard this in the last 20 years of, give me one Bible. When you travel to Africa and places where you hear that so much and so often. Give me one Bible. Give me one Bible. And many today would love to have one page of the Bible, one book of the Bible, something from the Old, something from the New Testament, chapter of the Bible, just something from the Word of God. They'd love to have it, but many can't afford it. Many are not that privileged. But here, don't we have not only the King James Version and the NIV and the NLT and the ASV and the Amplified and the Strong's Concordance and all the study helps, the Matthew Henry's and all the study helps. And when we don't have the actual books in front of us, we have Google and we can do research. We ought to be the most spiritual people, are we not? Or should we not be? But are we? Think about it. I'm grateful for this word tonight. I'm very, very grateful for this word. I love the illustration in the opening here tonight, light and darkness. I remember a few years ago around Christmas time, I was preparing a message. I was reminded of that when you did what you did. I remember sitting there studying, and the Lord had laid the subject of light and darkness on my heart, and I wasn't sure where we were going with it. And I found myself sitting there in preparation, in turmoil in my heart, in almost like a frustration of all the darkness. And I was like, Lord, I don't like the darkness. I don't like this. I don't like that. What's wrong with our society? What's going on? And all of a sudden, it was like the Lord just spoke to me, said, you are focusing on the wrong place. And I was like, well, aren't you against the dark? Aren't you against sin? Aren't you against this and that? And he's, yeah, but you focus too much on the darkness. And it was like a light bulb went on. I was like, the only way darkness can exist is the absence of light. And I was like, I hear you, Lord. I hear what you're saying. And it was I had to repent of my attitude because I was focusing on the wrong place. And it was like a new revelation of like the church has dimmed the lights. We have in some cases turned them off. So as we saw so beautifully illustrated, the only reason this room gets dark is he turned the lights off. The moment the lights were turned back on, the darkness vanished. So darkness, the absence of light. So God is calling the church to get lit up so that darkness has to flee. Wonderful illustration. Well, tonight I was praying throughout the afternoon. It depends how long we are somewhere, but I really feel, since this afternoon and as in the prayer meeting tonight, just really blessed my heart. And I love to pray with people because you can kind of hear the heartbeat. You can hear the sense. You can sense what the cry of the hearts are. And I love that immensely. In fact, it was a confirmation to the message because sometimes I don't preach a message like this early on in revival meetings, but I really sense we need to go here tonight. Matthew chapter 27, the verse is already on the screen. I want to begin with one verse in particular, but then we might read a few others around it as well. And the title of the message tonight is, What's Behind the Veil? And you see there a picture. Of course, the veil meaning the curtain in the temple that was ripped that moment when Jesus died. What is behind that veil? And I want to read of the happening again. This is not new, I imagine, for most of us. But this was right after Jesus, in verse 50 of Matthew 27, Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. That's the King James Version. Another word maybe for the veil did rent, it would be torn in two. The rocks did rent, or the rocks were split. So there was an earth-shaking moment at that moment when Jesus died. And how that in the middle of the afternoon it got dark, and this was an event that shook the earth, and the darkness came, and all of that. But inside the temple was this veil, it was this curtain that was ripped from the very top to the very bottom. It was opened up. And I understand what that means in light of salvation. Because prior to this, this veil was there to separate the holy place from the most holy place. In fact, let's just read it. I believe it's in Exodus, Exodus 26, or is it 36? Let's look at Exodus 26. I believe is where it is. There it is. Exodus 26 in verse 31. It really, in verse 33, is where it describes the veil. In fact, am I out of place to ask for more lights up here? Is that okay if you do that, or are you so... That would help me immensely. I need glasses. In fact, I finally had to go to permanent glasses because in preaching I was doing this all the time, on and off, because reading glasses, I would need them to read, and then when I would look out, you all would be all blurry. And so it was back and forth. Anyway, we'll just leave that. But this helps me to see a little bit better. But here's the purpose of this veil. Verse 31, Exodus 26, and thou shalt make a veil of blue, purple, scarlet, and it gives a description. Verse 32, thou shalt hang it upon the four pillars of the shittim wood, overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold upon the four sockets of silver. Now here's the reason. Thou shalt hang up the veil under the taches, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy place. So what is behind that veil? It is the ark of the testimony. It is the presence of God. And I understand that from a salvation standpoint, that moment when Jesus died. So before this, only the priests were allowed to go in behind this veil once a year to bring the ultimate sacrifice. But this day, when Jesus died, when he gave up the ghost, he surrendered his life. By the way, they didn't take his life, he gave it. For God so loved the world that he gave. He could have called 12 legions of angels, but he said, Father, forgive them. They didn't take his life, but he gave it. So that moment when Jesus died, when he gave up the ghost inside the temple, this curtain was ripped from the very top to the very bottom. Now, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Gave access to every person to go right into the presence of God that day. I understand that from a salvation standpoint, but does it mean anything for us today, believers who have been walking with the Lord for a time? Does it mean anything for us today? Yes, it does. In fact, we would all agree, I believe, that it was nothing short but the pure power of God that ripped that curtain from top to the bottom, right? Just as the power of God came and ripped the curtain open from top to the bottom, the same power could have come and put it right back, but he did not. That veil is still open today. And I find as we go from place to place that there are many believers who are scared to discover what is behind the veil. That is why revival is not happening. That's why there's no moving of the Holy Spirit. There's no manifestation of the power of the holiness of God. Because we're scared of the presence of God. Some time ago, we were at a church having meetings, and it was one of those very difficult times in my journey with what I was sensing in the congregation. The first night, and we knew very few people from this congregation. It was the way we got invited to come was through reference from someone else where we were, and then anyway, kind of a rigmarole how we got invited to this place. So we didn't really know the people, and they didn't really know us. So the first night, you know, it was kind of like you just sense that, you know, everybody was just kind of like, and it wasn't like, it was just kind of, you felt this almost resistance, and yet you weren't sure, were you really coming through? And I was like, well, after they get to know us, we get to know them, they get to know a little bit of, you know, what's happening and all of that, maybe that will break. And I was okay with that. Second night rolled around, and same thing, just kind of like cold, just not really. And man, after second night or so, I know we came out to the bus, I told the family, I'm done, let's get out of here. And I knew that wasn't the right attitude. I had to repent of that attitude. And I knew that wasn't what we were going to do. But that's what I was feeling. I was like, you know, those moments are good for us because it keeps us crying out. Keeps us crying out. They're good for us. Finally, I thought, well, I think we started on a Wednesday night. Thursday night rolled around, same thing. Friday night rolled around, same thing. And I thought, finally, Saturday night, Lord, would tonight be the breakthrough night? Would it be somehow where you would somehow just bring the breakthrough tonight? Saturday night rolled around, it didn't happen. And people, it wasn't like people weren't responding to the altar. It wasn't that. It was, I don't gauge effectiveness by the response of the altar, because it wasn't that. It was just what I sensed, even as we were singing and preaching, and there was not that. You know, I can tell in some of your faces when we talk about the presence of God within your heart, you want to say yes, yes, yeah, I can tell that tonight. And if you want to say amen and it doesn't come out, you can do a delay effect, like the one a friend of mine, bless his heart, he got gloriously saved, we were involved in his life, and later, years later, I was talking to another friend of mine. He was telling me about this guy at their church, where there was a speaker there, and the preacher made some profound statement, and different ones in the congregation were like, amen, you know, and he was so intently listening, like he wanted to say it, but because he was so intent, it didn't come out right then. And so about, you know, 2 seconds later, he just said, me too. So if it doesn't come out right away and he sends it later, you can do that anyway. It's no issue. But this setting, I just felt like
like, Lord, what will it take to break through? So I thought, okay, Sunday morning. Sunday morning could be the breakthrough. Before the message worship time at Sunday school, I was in a men's Sunday school class, about 8 or 10 men sitting in a circle. Sunday school teacher opens it up. He said, now before we get into the lesson here, I would just like to open it up. What has God been speaking to you about this week? Now my ears perked up. And just almost without hesitation, a brother in the circle said, well, I'm going to be very honest with you. And then he kind of hesitated. I got a little bit nervous. Because when he said, I'm going to be very honest with you, I didn't know if he was going to, like, didn't agree with something I said or what it was, but I was really intent to listen. He said it again, I'm going to be very honest with you. He said, messages, what we've been hearing, and I don't remember all the messages there, but in a lot of content was about the presence of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and all of that. He said, messages like we've been hearing. He said, I'm going to be very honest with you. I'm scared. He was an influential man in that church. That was his testimony. And my heart broke. My heart broke. And I don't say this critically against him. I bless him for being honest where he was at. My heart broke. And I said, now I understand what I was sensing, what I was feeling. But later I thought, I wonder, how many does that represent in the church? How many does that represent in the church? The holy place from the most holy place, we become very comfortable just sitting on the outside, which on the outside, what happens when we just remain outside and we don't allow the Lord to take us in, it's really producing shallow Christianity. It's not putting our roots very deep. It's kind of like I saw, I was 2 years ago or so, or two, three, I lose track of time, but I was driving up Interstate 95 from Sarasota one day, coming back from some functions there, and I was to preach at the home church. I was praying for a message. I said, Lord, it was New Year's Day or around New Year's, and I said, Lord, what would you have me to share at the home church, you know, for the kick in the new year, and what is it going to be? I had absolutely no direction at that point, but I was praying and asking the Lord, and all of a sudden, along Interstate 95, it was 75 or 95, one of the two there. I don't remember exactly which one. But all of a sudden there, along the interstate, there was a whole row of palm trees. And it was probably a quarter mile or maybe a half mile long. And they were planted every, I don't know, 6 or 8 feet. And there was a whole row of them. But there was something that I noticed in those pictures. And a few, and it got me. Now, it wasn't these exact trees, but it was... I got these offline then when the Lord was revealing to me what he wanted me to do. But I was driving and I looked at those palm trees and there was something around every one of those trees. I know that picture is not very clear. But what is in that picture? Now, you have these stately-looking palm trees. I've never done much of a study on them, but I like to look at them. I like to see them. I mean, they just kind of make a statement, don't they? They're kind of, in man's terms, they're kind of handsome. They're kind of like... some of you are, and you know, just like they're stately, they make a statement. But now, what is in this picture that just kind of takes away the beauty of it? What is it? Isn't it those ugly little things, those props, those 2x4s, those braces? Every one of these trees, even though they were tall, they were standing tall, but every one of those trees had those ugly braces around them. You know, look at this, where you have a beautiful house, you have these stately looking palm trees, but you have those ugly props to hold. Now, we know why those props are there, don't we? And that day, as I was looking, and I didn't catch on right away what God was doing, but I would look at these trees, and I'd have to keep driving, so I would look, and then I would drive, look, and drive, and all of a sudden, those props is what, and I was like, Lord, what are you saying to me through these ugly props? And all of a sudden, as I went past them, and then there were no more palm trees, it was like the Lord just gave me this picture of these palm trees, people. People in the church. And then the next revelation was that the reason that these little props are there is because the root system has not yet went deep enough in order for that tree to stand tall. Like, doesn't that just look a lot better? Isn't that much more beautiful? Isn't it much more beautiful when you have a nice home, a nice house, and you have this stage to look at? There are no props there. It looks much more beautiful. And the reason that there are no props there is because the root system has been attached to the ground and has gotten a hold of the foundation to where it is able to stand there without depending on so many other things to hold us up. That was the revelation that day. And I said, Lord, I hear you and I see it. And this was the revelation. When I remain outside, just in the holy place, or maybe in man, in our terms, as in order for me to understand it, on sitting on the porch, just remaining on the outside. That produces shallow Christianity. It produces, we may be saved, but our root system, we need all these props. Well, I got to depend on this to hold me up. I got to depend on this to hold me up. I got to depend on this to hold me up. And we miss the very heart of God. Because when we say, Holy Spirit, take me behind the veil into the presence of God, that is where we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and our root system will go deep. We will not remain on milk behind the veil. Our root system will go deep. When we say, Lord, take me behind the veil. Many today, we become comfortable just sitting on the porch. It has its place, but it's not where we stay. It's not where we stay. You know, when you come home from a hard day at work, maybe you're sweaty. Well, these days, not so much that, but it's coming. Wednesday, I hear it's supposed to be 80-some degrees. Are you all ready for that? Who knows, by Friday it might be snowing, the way your weather has been here, right? I don't say that, but anyway. Well, I did say it, didn't I? Yeah. But you know, you may have a hard day at work, depending on what your occupation is. You may come home, you may take a shower, you may clean up. And if you have a porch on your house, maybe you sit out there on the porch, there's a breeze going, and your wife, if you're married, your wife brings you a cold glass of lemonade or something refreshing to drink. Coke Zero would be the best. Hint, hint. But whatever your favorite drink is, you sit there and man, it feels so good. I mean, you're cleaned up. You're sitting there. Your feet are propped up. You drink your glass, refreshing drink. What if you would just stay there? What would happen? What if you would just stay there? What if I would just stay there? Just stay sitting on the porch. Sooner or later, I got to get off the porch, right? Or I'm going to go inside and get a refill. I'm going to, somewhere along the line, if I just stay sitting on the porch, I will dry up. And many today in the church, we become comfortable on the porch because that means I'm still in control of this. I'm still in control of that. I still handle this and I still handle that rather than a complete surrender to Almighty God. That doesn't produce revival. But what it does produce is shallow Christianity. On the porch, when somebody mistreats us in church, on the porch we come up with an agenda how to get even with them. But behind the veil, we become broken in the presence of God. And we pray for those who misuse us and despitefully use us. Yeah. But on the porch, I come up with an agenda how to get even. Another thing that happens on the porch, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there is a comparing ourselves among ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And Paul was addressing this to the church. And this is what he was saying. In verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye should all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Jumping down to verse 12. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name, and I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And of course, the next verse we know very well, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, Paul is addressing the church here, and he's saying, This is what I heard. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak, I'm back in verse 10, you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. So when he was addressing their divisions, he said, here's what's causing these divisions. Some of you say, I'm of Paul. Some of you say, I am of Apollos. Some of Cephas. So that was his basis for addressing division. And really what he is saying is, when we do that, we make the cross of none effect in our life. So the point is this. What I believe he was really addressing is, when we follow people here on earth is where we get sidetracked. And that is what happens on the porch. On the outside, we have our people that we follow here. In other words, he's my man. He is the one. He's the one that I look to. He's the one that, man, I like his style of preaching. Man, I like his enthusiasm. Man, I like, that has its place to a certain extent. We are to encourage people and to influence people. But friend, may I encourage us, we are never to ultimately follow people here on earth. Because when we do, we get sidetracked. And that's what Paul was addressing. You know, this week, it would be a shame if after we get to know each other, that some of you would start following us more than Christ, or we would start following you more than Christ. That would be a shame. I've said this many times. If you all, or wherever we are drawn more to us and our family than we are to God, then we have not done our job. And neither have you. It is so easy to follow people here. You may even have favorites within the congregation. We have five on our leadership team at our home church, and we encourage our people, don't follow us. Don't follow us. It's Almighty God that you're following. What happens on the porch when we follow people is, when those people make a mistake, then our life falls apart. A few years ago, I think in maybe 5 or 6, maybe 4 or 5, where a founder of a large organization ministry made some mistakes. A ministry that our family over the years, for 10, 12 years, and all through most of our homeschooling years, a ministry that had an incredible impact in our life. Principles of the Word that were being taught that had a great impact in our family, rightfully so. And I remember over the years encouraging our children, just remember, that no matter where we go for input time, refreshment time, for whether it's a family conference or another, just remember that we don't follow this organization, we don't follow these people. It should be a tool that God uses and speaks to our heart, that takes us to the deeper things of the Word of God, but ultimately that we seek the heart of God with all our whole heart, soul, and mind. That's where we need to go. So this founder, he made some mistakes. He was accused of some things. Some were false, some were true. I'm not here to say which and how much of what and all of that. I never got involved with that. But through that time, there were different well-meaning people that would come to my wife and I, our family, disrundled, or what's the word? Is that a good word? Is that good English? Okay, my wife, she's back there. You know, we do things in signs and wonders. She's back there signing and I'm wandering up here, but I'm not making light of that verse. But their life was like they were grabbing on, like, what are we going to do? He made a mistake and he's false. What are we going to do? And I was like, our faith wasn't shaken. My heart was saddened that it happened. It was grievous that it happened. But our faith and the things of the Word of God that we learned, that was not shaken. But on the porch when we are following people, I found through that whole thing that people were following this man and this ministry rather than the heart of God. And when he made a mistake, their world fell apart. No. That only happens on the porch. That is shallow Christianity. Because sooner or later, your leaders and people around you, your friends, they're going to make a mistake. Are you following them? Or are you following God? The difference between sitting on the porch or saying, Lord, take me behind the veil. Because behind the veil, our roots go deep. Our foundation is sure. And this word will never fail. Are you all breathing? Good old Laverne Schwartz would say, how can we just sit there like that, right? But think about it. This word will never fail. In the presence of God, we will be established. We will have a root system that will go deep. Many are scared to go there. Because what happens when we go there is a complete stripping of the self-life. There's a letting go. See, on the porch, I can still hang on to this. I can still hang on to this. I can still hang on to this and control this and control this and control this. In the presence of God, I become totally broken. Totally broken. Oh, when Jesus was there in the garden. He was there in the garden. He was praying, Father, if it would be possible, would you pass this cup from me? But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. In the presence of God, that's what happens to us. Not my will, but your will be done. Wonder if that's not one of the greatest battles ever fought or won was when Jesus was in the garden. Not my will, but your will be done. Holy Spirit, take us behind the veil. On the porch, we compare ourselves among ourselves, but behind the veil, we compare ourselves to the holiness of God. On the porch, ministry becomes competition, and power struggles happen on the porch. But behind the veil, there's no competition. We're all equal at the cross. Somebody else, I think, was it in prayer meeting tonight? I heard a prayer. Was it today? I'm trying to think now where I heard it. But at the cross, we are all equal. Ministry should never be competitive. On the porch, competition rises up. But behind the veil, it's one thing I so appreciate and learn from my dear mentor, Brother Nelson. Koblenz. Many of you know him. And you know, I had to think, Brother Irvin, these 19 years ago, I don't know if you remember that phone call you gave to me. You told me, well, you got to move your family to North Carolina. I don't think it was verbatim like that. It was a lot kinder said than the way I said it. But Brother Irvin was chairman of the board at that time. But I thank God for Brother Nelson and the years of working together. Ministry between me and him has never been competition. We have the privilege of doing tent meetings together. We love it. We're each other's amen corner. Yeah, each other's amen corner. It's not about where he can do it better than I or I can do it better. No. Behind the veil in the presence of God, how can Jesus be lifted up? And when Jesus is lifted up, he will draw all people to himself. It doesn't matter who he works through, but we are to lift him up behind the veil where we worship him, where we pray, we worship, we read. Our roots go deep, and ministry is not competition. But it's lifting up the name of Jesus. And then you watch the Holy Spirit draw people, oh, to himself. Hallelujah. On the porch, we compare ourselves among ourselves. But behind the veil, we compare ourselves to the holiness of God. If time would permit, we could go to Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You know that whole story? And then the coals were, he saw his undoneness. That's what happens in the presence of God behind the veil. It's like, oh, I'm a man undone, a man of unclean lips. He was cleansed. And what was the result of that? Here am I, Lord, send me. He compared himself to the holiness of God rather than to man. And the result of that was cleansing. The result of that was a pure life. And the result of that was, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. How many of you enjoy eating popcorn? Most of us. Do you ever think about how popcorn pops? How does popcorn pop? See, we have these little hard kernels, yellow, white. Now, there are several ways to make popcorn. One way would be the microwave option. It's an option, but maybe not a very good one, but it's there. You have that option. Another option perhaps is more the, I call it the old-fashioned way, or you got the kettle idea, and some of them have the little thing on top you turn, and you shake it, or some have a little crank on the side, or that style. Then my favorite is the Sir Crazy. You simply plug it in, and you kind of let it do its work. But in either case, you put this, and we'll use the Stir Crazy just for lack of confusion on where we're going with this. But you plug this thing into an outlet, and this little wire starts going around. And then on the inside of that thing is a heating element. And you pour canola oil, coconut oil, peanut oil, whatever you use. And so this oil starts getting hot and hot and hot. When it reaches a certain temperature, you pour a cup of popcorn in there, right? By the way, this is not a cooking class. We're getting somewhere with this. So you pour this cup of popcorn in there, and this thing goes around and around and around. The oil gets hotter and hotter and hotter. And all of a sudden, these little kernels, they go pop, 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 pop. How does that happen? What is on the inside of this kernel? What is on the inside of a popcorn kernel? It is moisture. So you put this hard shell with moisture that is on the inside, you put it in this very hot environment. Into an environment that starts heating up from the outside in, but eventually what is on the inside is catching this heat. And so this moisture on the inside of this hard kernel, it starts heating up. And when it gets hot enough, this moisture turns into vapor. And when that vapor happens, there is so much pressure coming from the inside that that hard outer shell can no longer contain the pressure that is coming from the inside. Are we there yet? So the point is this. When that moisture that turns into vapor and it is heated from the inside out, the pressure comes from the inside out, the hard outer shell will break and it will go pop. And it will go pop and pop and pop. And when it pops, there is a lot more than there was before. What's the point? The point is that on the outside, on the porch, we live from the outside in. And our shell becomes harder and harder and harder. But when we say, Lord, take me into the presence of God, take me into the Holy of Holies, take me there, then our inner man, according to Paul, our inner man is strengthened and renewed day by day because we are put into an environment that feeds us from the inside out. And that hard outer shell can no longer contain the pressure. Because we are put into an environment that feeds and strengthens the inner man. That's where I want to be. You ever try to eat unpopped popcorn? It's not very fun, is it? It's not a good experience. It doesn't taste good. It's just hard on your teeth. It's not a good experience. And as I was meditating on this illustration one day, it was like the Lord just gave me this picture of a group of people. And it was like a room full of people. I don't have a specific of where it was. It was a room full of people. And the word that the Lord gave me was unpop Christians. And I was like, that's kind of strange. What do you mean, Lord? Unpop Christians, yeah. Unpop Christians sitting on the porch. Interesting, Lord. And then it was just like this revelation of how many times do I sit there, but then the Lord taking me into the presence of God, taking me behind the veil where my inner man is strengthened and I'm living from the inside out, and there's a release, there's a popping, the pressure can't contain it anymore because I'm put into a holy environment. Yes. Yes. And the next word picture was Christians, all the same crowd where people were just popping up all over the place. Pop, 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 pop. I said, yes, Lord, popcorn Christianity. Yes, popcorn Christianity. And that's what happened. The invitation in just a moment is, Lord, take me off the porch and take me into the presence of God and pop. I don't want to be unpopped. Just as unpleasant as it is to try to eat unpopped popcorn, it is very unpleasant to be around unpopped Christians, if you will. Unpopped Christians. Got to be this way. I got to have it this way. I got to do it this way. It's got to be this way. It's got to be this color. It's got to be that style. It's got to be this way. And I'm not talking about getting away from biblical principles. I'm talking about my own way of thinking. And may we allow behind the veil, the Holy Spirit will renew our mind, as the Bible says. But on the porch, we'll establish our own mindset. And I believe that's what brings revival, is when we're willing to say, Lord, take me right into the present, right into the Holy of Holies. Take me there and pop me. Renew my mind and refresh me from the inside out. Yes, that's where I want to be. So tonight the invitation is simply this. Lord, take me off the porch. Take me. You say, well, how do I go into the presence of God? I know for a fact, because I've heard some of you pray. I know that you know what it is to get into the presence of God. I love to pray with people because you can tell. You can tell when you hear someone pray whether they're used to getting a hold of heaven. Or may I say, Just pray. When you hear the heartbeat, when you hear the cry of someone's heart, when you know that, God has so blessed us with people around us. I have to share this where there was a man over in Kenya a number of years ago. He was taking us around prison to prison. He was a pastor. I'd never worked with him before. He had organized all these prison services, and at the end of the services, often I would turn it back over to him and have him close in prayer. And we were just getting to know him. And one day, the Lord revealed everything to me that I needed to know about this man. It was one of the first times that I turned it over to him. It was first or second day. I don't remember for sure which one. As he was praying, he was down on his knee. I mean, out in the hot sun, in the dirt, suit and tie on. He began to pray. And all of a sudden, it was like 2 Chronicles 7, where the glory of the Lord just filled the place. And I began to weep. And I looked out where he was. He was about 8-10 feet in front of us. And he was down on his knees in the dirt. The only thing that separated his face from the dirt was the microphone. Praying. Heaven down. There was an anointing that came upon that place. There was just the glory of God fell on that place. And I said, Lord, I believe this is established long before a public event. Because if we would go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, where Jesus taught on prayer, I don't know if I'll preach on that anytime or not, but where Jesus was teaching on prayer, he said that you get behind the door, behind and shut the door. You pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. That day, God rewarded this man openly. And I'm convinced, I didn't ask him, but I'm convinced that this man had been in the presence of God when nobody else was around. And see, that's what it's going to take for the church to become alive, is individually, because who makes up the church? You and I. Do you ever leave church on a Sunday morning and say, that was a boring service? Don't raise your hand, your pastors are in here. No, but seriously, what's happening? We start blaming this, see, that's porch life. That's porch life and that shallow Christianity. We start blaming everybody else when it could be only a reflection, because you and I make up the church, it could be a reflection of what your life was like Monday through Saturday. We blame it on everything else. But in all reality, it could be a reflection that I've been sitting on the porch all week long, not in the presence of God, I long to see the day, hallelujah, Brother Furman. I long to see the day when every person says, Lord, pop me. Oh, pop me. Take me in the presence of God and pop me, where Monday through Saturday, where I'm in worship with Almighty God. I'm a man of the Word. I'm a man of prayer. And I take seriously my relationship with Him. And now you are so full of the things of God and the power of God that when you walk through those doors on Sunday morning, you come in here and you multiply that times 100. You watch your service change. Because your heart is in a condition where you can host the presence of God. Because you've been in His presence all week long. I know we got our jobs to do, we got our work to do, but intentionally a time of worship and connecting with Almighty God, which causes us to pray without ceasing, which causes us to be in the spirit of prayer. Now, you bring that together. We come to church with the attitude of receiving, not the way to come to church. We come to church with the attitude of receiving, we'll probably leave empty. But we come full. We come full because we've been in worship Monday through Saturday. We come with the attitude of giving back to God in worship of what He's been pouring in. You know what happens? We end up receiving. But it's not our motive for coming. You will, when that is our heart, we will not leave thinking, boy, that was a boring service. but we'll leave like, and when the preacher gets up and he reads the scriptures, like, yes, yes, that agrees with, this is it, this is it. Yeah. So Lord, tonight, would you take me off the porch? And I believe many of you, if not all of you, are not on the porch. Your heart is in a condition where you're okay to go in the presence of God. You're okay with that. And I bless that. But there could be some saying, you know, I've been sitting on the porch. It's not been real refreshing. It's just been kind of dry. But Lord, tonight, would you take me off the porch and take me into your presence and pop me? Could we stand together tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How do we enter into the presence of God? Well, I'm glad the Word of God teaches us in Hebrews chapter 10. Having therefore, brethren, by the boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So how many of us the blood of Jesus is applied to our life? That is how we enter in. That's how we enter in. But tonight, Lord, let us pray. Lord, I thank you tonight that you do not want us to remain on the porch. Lord, you want revival to continue to burn. You want revival to continue to happen. I've got to come to that place in my life where I just fall on my knees before you. I say, oh God, I've been sitting on the porch too long. Lord, I don't want to stay there. But Lord, tonight I'm asking you to get me off the porch. Get me off. Take me off, Lord. Take me into the Holy of Holies, because the veil is still open. Veil is still open. If you tonight, you sense the drawing of the Holy Spirit. And in your heart, you're saying, yes, Lord, take me off the porch. Take me in. If that's you tonight, would you step out and come? Just come right now. The Lord is drawing you. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, take me off the porch. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take me there, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, take me there. Break my heart with what breaks your heart, Father. Take me into the Holy of Holies, oh God. Take me there, Lord. Not my will, but your will be done. Yes, Lord Jesus. Take me in, Lord. Holy Spirit, draw us to yourself tonight, Lord. Father, we just come, we enjoy your presence here tonight. We just have a brother come. If your heart is pure and your hands are clean, just come pray. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else sense the drawing? This is, I don't close anything down that is not finished, neither do I want to drag it out. But Lord, let's all be in the spirit of prayer. And if you sense the drawing of the Spirit, you just mind the Lord. Just mind the Lord. Father, we pray tonight. Oh God, we pray. Lord, that you would break our hearts with what breaks your heart.
Lord, draw us into your presence. Lord, where our roots go deep, we enjoy your presence. We worship you there. Your holiness, your righteousness, because we compare our life with your holiness. Teach us how to live there. We worship you, Lord. Holy Spirit, do your ministry, Lord. Your ministry. We enjoy your presence here tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Father, we pray tonight. We thank you for the sweetness of your presence, the sweetness of your spirit, the friendliness of this altar. I thank you, Lord, tonight that you so desire that relationship with us, even more than we do with you at times. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for the drawing of your spirit. And Lord, would you continue to draw us to yourself, even as we are dismissed here tonight. Prepare our hearts for tomorrow evening. Just prepare our hearts, Lord. Help us, O God. Help us, O Father. Help us, O God, to have our hearts prepared. Come, to once again to worship you together. But help us, Father, even throughout the day, that we would draw nigh to you and you will draw nigh to us. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Amen. Pray as long as you need to. I wonder if we could just sing that together tonight. Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing. Let's sing it together, shall we? Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing holy likeness to grow, thirsting for more. Yes, Lord. Yearning thy love more fully to know. Open the wells of grace and salvation, pour the rich streams deep to my heart, cleanse and refine my affection, seal me and make me pure as thou art. Dead to the world would I be, O Father, dead unto sin. Oh, yes. Crucify. Crucify all the earthly within me.
emptied of sin and self may I be. Open the wells of grace and salvation, pour the rich streams deep into my heart, cleanse and refine my seal me and make me pure as thou art. And then we are his. I would be thine, Lord, serve thee forever, filled with, yes, lost in his love. Come to my heart, Lord. Oh, yes, come with anointing. Showers of grace send down from above. Open the wells of pour the rich streams deep into my heart. Cleanse and refine my thought and affection. Seal me and make me pure as thou art. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Tomorrow night, prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. And let's see, what is tomorrow night? Monday evening. Maybe we will include Monday. Yes. Tell you what, I didn't talk to my children about this, but why don't we plan tomorrow night? I see a number of younger children here tonight. We're all children of God, or if we belong to the family of God, we're all children of God. But for something special for the younger children, maybe we'll have our children do a children's class for you before the message tomorrow evening. Maybe we'll include some music. We'll see how the Lord leads us throughout tomorrow. But so children, bring your parents tomorrow night. Can you do that? All right. Okay, God bless you. Service at 7:30, prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. God bless you. You are dismissed in the name of Jesus. Or is there anything else, Furman? Okay. All right, God bless you.